Once again, we've been away from our study for a week now, so I think a little bit of review is in order. Talking about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. God supplies the people, all the saints in the church of God. Every one of us is important to the work of the ministry, the building of the church, the body of Christ. God supplies not only the people, but also the tools. The Word of God is our tool. The Word of God is our instruction manual. The Word of God is our marching orders. The Word of God is our authority on which we build. We build the church. We edify. We build it up. We strengthen it. We make strong the body of Christ through the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. We need to listen carefully because God has a message for us every time we open the Word of God. We should always approach the Word of God with two questions. Lord, what does your Word say? What is it saying? What does it mean? What is the instruction that's being given? And what does it say to me? What does the Word of God say? What does it say to me? What's the application? Are there things in my life that need to be changed, strengthened, improved, eradicated? Are there things in my life I need to surrender to you, Lord? The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's working to change each of us, myself included, every time we open the Bible. We need to have that attitude because the Word of God is being used to build unity among the body of Christ. Achieving the goals of the ministry. We've talked about two. We're talking about the third one today. The first one that we talked about was the goal of unity. All of us understanding the same thing. All of us being on the same page, knowing what we believe, knowing the Bible, being students of the Scripture, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need unity in that. We need to be in agreement on what we believe. We need to have a fellowship of the Word of God, a fellowship in the truths of Scripture, the unity of the faith, unity in doctrine, being of one mind, being of one heart, being in agreement with who we believe in, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He? What has He done? Where is He today? What is He doing today? What is He going to do in the future? Unity of the faith. Paul's ministry. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is about our blessings, our riches in Christ Jesus, in the church. The church is the subject and the theme of Ephesians. God is telling us what the church should be like. God is telling us what the church is, how the church should be formed, and what the church should become. And so we are to be unified in the goal of maturing the believers in the faith, bringing them to a place where they agree and they're working together for the cause of getting other people to the point they also know who Jesus Christ is, that He, being the head of the church and the Savior of the body, is the one whom we serve, the one whom we adore. Also, sound doctrine, another goal of the unity of the ministry, the goals of the ministry is being sound in doctrine, that we be henceforth, verse 14, no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's so many different doctrines in the world today. People teaching so many different things. There's false doctrines within the church that call themselves Christian. There's false doctrines that twist the Word of God, proclaiming 95 or 98% truth, but changing it just a little here and a little there to where it's confusing and it's not clear and it doesn't teach clearly what God wants it to teach, what God intends it to teach. Then there are those who are, by our definition, cults, people who don't even believe the Bible, people who teach things that are totally contrary to the Bible. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it so that we don't get tossed back and forth and carried away with every wind of doctrine, not being deceived by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. The false teachers and the deceivers in this world lay in wait, waiting for an opportunity to deceive even the very elect if it were possible. And so we need to be sound in our doctrine. We need to Study the Word of God. Again, God's Word, supreme. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the Word, and we need to hold forth the Word of life. Sound doctrine. Continuing on with that theme and that thought today, we need to also speak the truth. When we're talking about speaking the truth in love, we're again talking about the Word of God, the doctrine, the things about God that we know to be true from the Bible. The Bible is our authority. And we speak the truth even when the truth hurts. We speak the truth even though sometimes speaking the truth is not easy. Did you ever have to rebuke someone who was wrong in their position? Someone who was in error in their thinking? If you've ever been in that position, you know it's one of the hardest things you can do. It's something akin to the fact of rearing children. Your children weren't always right in everything that they wanted to do, were they? Sometimes they wanted to do things when they were still under your rule and under your household that you knew was harmful to them. And you had in love, because you loved them, because you wanted them to go in the right direction, because you didn't want to see them get hurt, because you didn't want to see them go astray, you rebuked them, you warned them, you corrected them. What is the Word of God profitable for? Somebody tell me. Correction is profitable for rebuke and correction, instruction in righteousness, and teaching us what correct doctrine is. And so we need to speak the truth in love, verse 15, growing up into Him in all things. Speaking the truth in love is a process of growing up. It's a process of maturing. Those who are mature, those who have been through the ropes, so to speak, or those who've been through the trials, those who've been through the fire, are the ones who have been brought to a point where they are able to take the truth of the Word of God and bring the rest of us to maturity, to bring us to the point where we understand God's Word clearly, we accept it as our authority, we surrender to it because we are under its jurisdiction, under its rule, under its authority, and we surrender to the Holy Spirit's use of it in our life to correct us and to change us into the ultimate goal, the image of Jesus Christ. God is working to form the image of His Son in us, to get us to think like Christ, to get us to have the mind of Christ. May this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, to think like Him and to respond like Him to the people of this world who we are here to seek and to save, Jesus, just as Jesus did, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. So speaking the truth in love, that is a basic principle that applies to every aspect of Christian life and ministry. The phrase speaking the truth in love is one word in the Greek. It is a verb known as aletheuo, and it means to speak or deal or to act truthfully. To act truthfully, it has the idea of walking in a truthful way. Is there anyone here who likes to be lied to? You know, it's sickening to turn on the television and to listen to politicians who openly tell you, "I'm lying to you." That's where the world has gotten to the point today, where they not only lie to you, but they tell you, "Yeah, most of what I tell you is not true." Or, "I'm going to make promises that you know are not going to happen." And well, what if the church was like that? What if the family of God was like that? What if God said, "Well, here's my word, but you better not count on what it says. You better make up your own mind about what's right and what's wrong." Convictions How can you have convictions if you don't know what's right and what's wrong? And yet we talk about convictions, don't we, in the Christian life? Walking in a truthful way, walking in honesty and integrity. Do you know what's admirable in the church? Do you know what is attractive to the Christian church? It's men of God who have come to a place of maturity, and you know that their life is a shining testimony of integrity, honesty. I was talking to Brother Gene yesterday to use him as an example, and I believe I can, because Brother Gene's testimony has always been the truth of Jesus Christ, that God is love and the amazing grace of God. And I said to Brother Gene, Brother Gene, just trying to encourage him a little bit, I said to him, you have been the epitome of Jesus Christ. I said, for the last several years, even before you got sick, you were such a man of God. You have been, and you still are, such a man of God that we see Jesus in you. We see Jesus in you. His life characterizes Jesus. And he's not the only one. There's many of you sitting here today who are the epitome of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shines through your life. And that's comforting. It is solid to the church to have people, men and women, I'm not just picking out men today, but men and women who are a shining example, a testimony that they love the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is number one in their life, that they are living for Him. It describes the character, this idea of speaking the truth in love. It describes the character of a man who is free from guile, G-U-I-L-E. A man who is free from trying to deceive others, trying to trick people, trying to make people think I'm something that I'm not. I'm not genuine, but I want to make you think I'm genuine. I'm not solid in the truth, but I want you to think that I'm solid in the truth. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 32, verse 2, listen to this. Blessed is the man. There's a lot of verses that start that way, isn't there? Those are great words. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Satisfied, happy, content, fulfilled, filled with joy. The man who follows after the Lord, the man who walks in righteousness, the man of God or the woman of God who makes Jesus Christ their model. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. There's no sin that God says, I have to put sin on your account. But you are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are clothed with righteousness. You live in righteousness. You walk in righteousness. Your life exudes the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is imputed to you. And in you there is no guile. In whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no deceit. There is no trickery. There is no artificial Christianity. It's real. You look at the outside world should be able to look at any one of us sitting here today and be able to say, if they know you very well, if they know you just a little bit, they just met you and they just casually know you, or they've known you for years and they've known you well and they've been close to you and intimate with you and they know you inside, they know how you think and they know you what you believe in and they know your standards of living, and they should be able to say, there's a person who's real. There's someone who's genuine, whose faith is real, whose Christianity is an imitation, whose Christianity is really something to behold. Blessed is the man who's not trying to trick the world, who's not trying to deceive the world. There's no guile in that person. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, what did he say? He says, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. When you see Nathanael, you saw exactly what Nathanael was. He wasn't a pretender. He was a genuine article. We talk about Abraham Lincoln being Old Honest Abe because of his integrity and his honesty, his truthfulness in all of his dealings with man. That's the way you and I should be as Christians. When we say something to the world, when we testify to the world who Jesus is, there shouldn't be any contradiction between who we are saying Christ is and who we are. Who we say Christ is what we should be. Because being a Christian is what? What does the word Christian mean? Little Christ or Christ-like one. The one who is like Christ. And there should be no guile, no deceit, no trickery. We shouldn't be trying to pretend to be Christians. We should be speaking the truth in love. And as we speak in the truth in love, we know that, as I said before, the truth is not always easy to say. Because when we speak the truth in love, we are rebuking the world who is not walking in truth. We are condemning people who are outside of the body of Christ. But in the body of Christ, what does the scripture say? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But when we are confronted with people who are not in Christ Jesus, people who are not saved, what do we have to do? We have to tell them, you're a sinner. You're not right with God. You are under condemnation. You are separated from God. You are dead in trespasses and sins. It is not easy. It is not easy. The in love part is hard too. Because the attitude in which we serve the Lord in the work of the ministry is to be done in love. Go back again. Flip the page back or right maybe on the same page of Ephesians chapter 3. I just want to review what Paul said in a couple of verses there. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 17. Paul's prayer for the church is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Okay, that's simple enough to understand that Jesus Christ should be living in our heart. We should be living by faith. We should be trusting Him to bring us to maturity, to build us up in Christ. That ye being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded, may be able to comprehend, to understand with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, all that there is about the love of God, the very depths of God's love, everything that is concerning God's love is true to me, that I might be able to understand how that works and to know the love of God which passes understanding or passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God, filled with everything that's true about God. Filled with the knowledge of God. Go over to chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again, in love. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in what? In love. Esteeming others better than yourself. Considering other people more important than yourself. Being like doing what Peter says. Peter says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. Not just a say-so love. Not just say, I love you and not mean anything. But a genuine love. Pure, with a pure heart. To love one another with a pure heart. Fervently. Fervently. Genuinely loving one another. Go over to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Paul was a picture of a person who gave himself. We're just watching a little bit of the news when we were on vacation on TV, and they were bringing a soldier back who had been killed years and years ago in Vietnam. And talking about, you know, he loved his country, and he fought for his country, and he gave his life for his country. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be loyal to your nation, to be loyal to your people, to be loyal to the country that you grew up in. But the loyalty that we should have for Jesus Christ, that should fade in comparison to our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be loyal to Jesus Christ. We should walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Paul was a servant of love. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15. We've used this verse many times. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Isn't that a sad statement? Even though I love you deeply and intentionally, even though I love you sacrificially, and that's the way Jesus Christ loves us, not expecting anything in return, not loving us in order to be seen, but in order to build us up and encourage us. Genuine love. Genuine love. And yet, Paul, he says, the more I love you, the less I am loved, the less you show love toward me. That reminds me of the words of 1 John 3:18, where he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Doing things to show love, that is genuine Christian love. Praying for people, visiting people, calling people to encourage them, showing your love for people in different ways, speaking the truth in love. Sounds like it should be something easy to do, right? Some of you are shaking your head now. You know it's not always easy to speak the truth in love. John MacArthur said, speaking the truth in love seems easy, but it is extremely difficult. It is possible only for the believer who is thoroughly equipped in sound doctrine and spiritual maturity. John MacArthur is saying the only people who can actually speak the truth in love are people who are spiritually mature and sound in doctrine. Isn't that what we just studied in verses 13 and 14? This is a progressive revelation of how to edify the church, how to build up the church, how to do the work of the ministry so that the church of Jesus Christ is brought to completion the way that God intended for it to be. He says, only the man who is growing up unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ has the humility and the grace to present the truth in love. And that's why I say, dear friends, we have to be patient with one another. We have to forbear one another in love, as we studied here in verse 2. We have to be patient, realizing that we live in a sin-cursed world. None of us is perfect. But at the same time, we must also remember what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, that without love, we are nothing. Without love, we are merely sound or noise in the world. The world must see our love. What did Jesus say? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so, we need to do what Ron Hamilton said in the song that he wrote, Love As I Loved. The chorus says, love as I loved, give as I gave. There are people that I came to save. Love as I loved, and I will shine through Let others see my love in you. And then next we see in verse 15 that we are to grow up into Him. How do you grow up into Christ? How do you become mature in Jesus Christ? He says, grow up into Him in all things. In all things. That's what John MacArthur calls a comprehensive Christ-likeness. Being like Christ in gentleness, being like Christ in love, being like Christ in holiness, being like Christ in hatred towards sin, being like Christ in every aspect, every detail. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond? If the world treated us, if the world treated every single one of us like those policemen treated Pastor Ho in Malaysia, how would we respond? What would our reaction be? Love as I have loved you. Grow up into Him in all areas. In all areas, in all things. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul talks about the discipleship process taking place until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. And then he says, which is the head? Growing up into Him in all things, which is the head? Jesus Christ is the head of the body. We must always remember that. Amen. The old nature sometimes tries to make us think that we are in control, but we're not. Go back to chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. Paul again is praying for the church, and he's praying that we might know what is the exceeding greatness of His power, not our power, His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Go over to chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, Paul says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And to grow up into Him in all things, that is to be completely subject to the controlling power of the Lord Jesus Christ. To put His will ahead of everything else. It's to say, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Take your hymn book and turn to number 375. We're going to sing this song in a few minutes as our invitation. But I think what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, is summarized very well in these verses. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Just think about that for a moment. Is that your desire? To wear the likeness of Jesus Christ in the outward appearance, so that people may see Christ in the inner man. Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion. Do you ever stop and ask yourself, am I a compassionate person? Do I really show compassion the way God would want me to? Am I loving, forgiving, tender, and kind? Helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find? Oh, to be like Thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive Thy wisdom divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment, all shall be Thine. Oh, to be like Thee, while I am pleading, pour out Thy Spirit, fill with Thy love. Are you filled with the love of God? Do people see the love of Jesus Christ in you? Make me a temple meet for Thy dwelling. Fit me for life in heaven above. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness. Stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Father in heaven, I pray today that during this hour, people will have heard from You, that they will have heard Your voice from Your word, speaking to their heart. Again, as we began today, I feel the need to emphasize, Lord, that we need to ask ourselves, what is the Word of God saying? What does it mean? We've looked just on the surface of what Your Word means in verse 15 today. Just taking a glance at it. Now, what does it mean to me? Can I sing the words of this song, O to be like Thee? Can I sing this as a prayer? Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want Your love and compassion to be seen in me. I want to be as forgiving. I want to be as kind. I want to be as loving as You are. Lord, can we apply the word to our life today and say, Lord, may the fullness of Jesus Christ shine through me today and for the rest of my life. May the Holy Spirit use the Word of God today in a powerful way and do what only God can do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.